Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, August 12th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 38, the second paragraph, beginning with, "You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, and reading through its strong language, but isn't it true?" Today's readers are Stephanie R. and the 12 Steps, Naomi G. B., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Kathy S. in the text, Nancy R. on page 164, and Craig F. as our backup reader. Our newcomer reader is Karen W., and our second hour moderator is Maria F. The share ID for Sunday, August 11th, 2024, is 21,646. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no fees or dues for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie R., recovered compulsive overeater. Here are our 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B. from Ontario, Canada, recovered compulsive overeater. 12 Traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you very much for the opportunity to do service, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Naomi. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism. On page 38, the second paragraph, beginning with, "You may think our illustration is too ridiculous," and reading through its strong language, "but isn't it true?" I will now ask Leah S. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However intelligent we may have been in other respects, where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? So true. I love Bill and his writing. There's no sugarcoating this. It is strangely insane. And when we look at the illustration of the jaywalker, you know, it starts off with a thrill. And that's exactly where I started. I had a thrill when I would come up upon a new diet or a new exercise plan. And then there would be a thrill about binging. Like, and then just the anticipation in the grocery store, that was probably gave me the greater high than the food itself. But then over time, you know, and I may have enjoyed it for a few years, and to some people it was a queer idea of fun. It was interesting, but foolish. And yet I thought I was okay because I was able to control it, control my food, my binging with exercise and diets. And then I would get slightly injured. And then, you know, knowing that I should stop, and then it progressed to getting more injurious, and I was seeking help from rehab and therapists and looking up on YouTube. And you know, this brought me to looking at the idea of self-control, which is the ability to recognize and choose the important thing over the urgent thing at any given moment. And your desires are properly ordered, the most important being, you know, what I would want. And with my, in my case, you know, I would fulfill this urge to eat, which undermined my health. And, you know, and then, you know, because I lacked that proportion, life went out of control. Basically, I came across something with about addiction. It was a great description of the process in that it begins when I use something I believe will relieve some distress. Now, even like the jaywalker in the very beginning, I didn't even know I had distress. I just had this curious idea of fun. But over time and doing enough inventories, I realized what I am doing is trying to escape some distress. Then the addiction creates its own distress. I overeat and I'm in a lot of pain emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Finally, I spiral down as an addict when I try to cure the additional pain caused by the excess food or and or exercise with more food or exercise. That's the insanity. You know, I'm seeking treatment. I'm trying to answer the problem caused by the additional food, the addiction itself, with more of the addiction. And it just left me, like, through the ringer, lifeless. I was drained of any self-will, determination, water, life, whatever. And the solution is to run to God. And the steps really taught me how God restored my sanity as well as my self-control around these things. And I'm so grateful for this program, for this fellowship, and for this meeting, for the opportunity to share. Thank you very much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Leah. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please let others step in. Please give me your first name only and the first initial of your last name.
Katie G. From Boston. Katie G.
Got you, Katie.
Rachel K.
Sonia S. from Philadelphia.
Sonia S. I know I'm missing a couple of names. So far, I've got Katie G., Rachel K., Sonia S., and if you've already given your name and you haven't heard it, please give it to me now.
Patty O.
How do you spell that?
P-A-T-T-I-O.
Okay, got you.
Thank you.
And, all right, who else?
Michelle P. from Rhode Island.
Michelle P. Anybody else?
Vasa O.
Vasa, got you. Okay, I think we'll go with this lineup here, and this is who I have: Katie G, Rachel K, Sonia S, Patty O, Michelle P, and Vasa O. And just remember, when you are introducing yourself, please give your name, first initial, and the location that you are calling from. All right, Katie G, you are up first, followed by Rachel K. Go ahead, Katie.
Hey, friend. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. I'm Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. So I looked up the word insane. It means I have no normal perception. One of the things I've done recently, as many of you might do too, is I've looked at pictures from the past couple of years. My dad celebrated his 82nd birthday. When I look at the picture of his 80th birthday, when I had actually put on weight, I look like a skeleton. And although my BMI, according to Google Doc, was normal, I looked like I was a skeleton. And I had no normal perception at that time that I was dying from exercise bulimia. And exercise bulimia is an addictive food behavior that I suffered from in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And you might think that I'm insane, right? Like it is completely without normal perception to be 45 and need a total knee replacement and still want to run a marathon. It is completely without normal perception, right, to have this beautiful family that I want to be in, that I worked so hard with God to co-create and want to spend the most time exercising. I would wake up in the morning and I would do upon awakening, but I would be so distracted about when am I going to exercise, where am I going to exercise, for how long am I going to exercise, and what is my body weight going to be? Because unfortunately for me, in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, it was very easy to hide because I don't eat no matter what I don't eat, or I eat my weight and measured. that I'm exercising bulimically and I am controlled by the scale. And, you know, I will say today that I can lack normal perception. It doesn't mean I always do, right? As our friends point out, I am given proper use of the will. I have an intuitive thought or a decision. However, I'm given step 10, which is a spot check inventory, because my perception of things can be so warped. This morning I woke up and I had to do writing on somebody who barely knows my name, but in KDG's world, she hated me. She was plotting against me, and I really believed it. I totally believed I had this whole story, right? But that's not who God is. And when I align my thinking with God, I know that even if she is plotting against me, I'm okay, right? Because I'll wrap up with this. I get to be an agent for God today. I don't have to think about exercise. I don't have to think about the food. I am recovered today. I recoil as if from a hot flame, from body weight, from diets, from anything having to do with mental obsession. And thanks be to God, because of all of you, I get to go and serve him today. And I'm going to do that with you one more day, God willing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, KDG from Boston. All right, Rachel K., you're up next, followed by Sonia S. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, Rick. Thank you so much for calling on me. And hey, everybody. This is Rachel K., recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. And, in this reading, the thing that sticks out to me is as intelligent as we were in, I don't have my reading glasses on anymore. What does it say? However intelligent we may have been in other respects, where alcohol had been involved, we have been strangely insane. So allow me to humble brag on the fellowship. You guys are smart. I am not stupid. I have no, you know, scientific studies to prove this, but I would wager that addicts are smarter than the general public. I mean, I just see really intelligent people in these rooms. And if we could think our way out of it, if we could figure our way out of compulsively overeating, we would. But my brain is a liability with this disease. It does say later on in the book, it says, for God gave us brains to use. But it also in that same section says we ask God to direct our thinking. So if God isn't directing my thinking, my intelligence, no matter how smart I am, no matter how big my brain, is a liability. I have to rely on the mind of God because I am strangely insane when it comes to this disease. And, you know, the fact that intelligence in my brain is a liability is really good for me to remember when I get into that headspace of like the hamster on the wheel. Da, 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 da. Let me figure this out. Okay, how is this going to work in my day? How am I going to do this at work? You know, where you guys hopefully can relate to this, have been there, where my brain just won't shut up. You know, it's just loud and keeps on going and going and going, and I'm trying to concentrate on something else, and I've read a paragraph, and I don't know what I've read because I'm thinking about something else and worrying about this. So, you know, that's insanity. That's insanity. Not only is it insanity to keep on jaywalking or keep on, you know, buying thousands of dollars worth of food and stuffing myself until, you know, I can only lay down on my side on the floor. It's insanity to try to run my own life, to try to run the show. And that's where I have to rely on a power greater than myself, on the peace and strength that is my higher power, that's my relationship with God. So anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. Everybody have a great week, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. Sonia, yes, you're up next, followed by Patty O. Go ahead, Sonia.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Not that long ago, I listened to a podcast about more about alcoholism and discussed with my sponsor some key ideas. And it's interesting. We both agreed that we identified with the jaywalker the most. And the strangely insane characteristic of the jaywalker relates to me when I'm in my disease. And what I want to say is that I'm on step four. I started to feel God's power in step two and three. And I'm going to tell you this because these are some really incredible experiences that I had. At step two and three, I could feel the disease attacking my family. So my family prayed together in a circle and denounced the disease in our house. We all could feel HP all at the same time, and my daughter came to believe in a power greater than herself. One of the things I did as a jaywalker, I would look at Pinterest for hours. So what I had to do, I cleaned up my Pinterest boards that had 15,000 posts of pictures relating to hair, makeup, shoes, jewelry, and faces. Unbelievable. And then I also, on the day I was working step two, because if I was jaywalking, I would have been living in anger. I had an incident where I was so moved emotionally. Like, I had such a buildup of emotions, I thought I was going to die. And I was like, and eat, go back to jaywalking. And HP found me where I was at and gave me peace. And I was able to forgive this person blocking me from HP. And I was able to continue working my steps. So this program is really incredible. Never thought I would have these experiences on step two and three. And now I'm on four. So I'm like, okay, God, what more do you have for me? Please. And I know. And also, guess what? HP told me that I will be recovered if I work these steps. And step two is the solution. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thank you very much, Sonia. And could you remind us where you're calling from today?
Hi, I'm Patty O from
Florida. Hi, this is Sonia S. from Pennsylvania, Eastern Time.
All right, thank you, Sonia S. Okay, Patty O, you are up next.
Hi.
Followed by Michelle. Go, P.
Hi,
go ahead, Pat.
Good morning. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Florida. And I never thought of what the first speaker was talking about how my compulsive overeating. I can remember being a compulsive overeater since as long as I can remember. It never manifested in obesity or weight problem because I was an athlete. But the thrill of once I realized or my weight became noticeable and a problem, that it was such a thrill. When I ate, I got such a thrill. And then whenever I would find a diet, and probably the more expensive the diet, the better I thought it was going to be. And so nothing worked. Nothing helped me because I was trying to fill this hole inside me with food, and it doesn't fit. I've spent decades seeking a solution, and I have had glimpses of it in the decades past. Next month, I'll have 1 year of abstinence in the program of vision, and I have been, for the most part, free from the obsession. And for me, the jaywalker is absolutely me. I guess what I want to get to is that the insanity of my thinking around food is a desire to hurt myself. In the beginning, I believed I could eat tonight and I would start again tomorrow. The end of my eating was I knew if I ate tonight what was going to happen, the consequences of picking up that one bite the night, and then I knew what was going to happen, and I did it anyway. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I could never really understand why some of my patients would want to hurt themselves. And I don't understand why I want to hurt myself. And I, just as an aside, this is the first time I'm sharing in a long time. I've been terrified to share. But you are my higher power, you guys. I hear I'm not alone, and there is a solution from every single one of you. And so that's just why I'm sharing. I don't have much clarity. I'm struggling with the God idea, all this stuff. But I haven't found it necessary to pick up addictive eating in almost a year. And for that, I thank you.
Gentle reminder.
Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you so much, Patty O from Florida. Michelle P., you are up next, followed by Vasa O. And please remember to give your name, first initial, and where you're calling from. All right, Michelle, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Michelle P. here in Rhode Island. And this paragraph, I so relate with it. And I remember when I first came in the rooms and I read this paragraph, I didn't. I was like, "This, how does this relate to me, this person jumping out in front of cars?" And then someone shared with me, as they do, to explain this book to us newcomers, that this, I'm sorry about my dog, that this paragraph is represents every insane idea, every insane diet that I went to for many, many years to solve this problem, thinking that it would over and over, okay, every time I joined that commercial weight loss program. But fast forward in the rooms, as my disease progressed, it now represents every idea that I have that, and I still relate with the person this year before us, that I will binge tonight and figure it out tomorrow. That idea won in my head, and I got that supercharged, like, oh, yeah, I'll binge tonight and I'll figure out some other way tomorrow. And the other insane idea of, you know, taking the time to work program as it does, makes my life harder. I'll have more time for my dog. I'll have more time for my family if I didn't work program. The truth is, when I'm not living a 12-step way of life, I'm in the food, and there is no time, energy, or desire to be with my family, to be with my dog. But yet, that idea won over many, many times. And if I had an idea like that in my employment, you know, where I'm successful, if I did the same thing over and over and got bad results, like, I would lose my job. I wouldn't do that. So I could see that intelligent aspect in my job, but I can't see it in my eating because I have this illness. And that is like a huge symptom of the illness and the lies that the disease tells us and allow to get in. So I pray to God today that it is a day that I am not the jaywalker, that I don't live those lies, that I don't live that insanity over and over again. And I thank you for letting me share in my path.
Thank you, Michelle P. from Rhode Island. Vasa O., you're up next, and more names. Go ahead, Vasa.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rick, for your service this morning. And I am Vasa, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I remember when I read the Jay Walker story, and I remember thinking, what is he doing trying to jump in front of the cars and getting hurt? He's crazy, and that's crazy. But I could not relate to my story until later, the craziness that I did with my food addiction. And it was just amazing. Yes, it's so true. I did all, you know, exercising before I came to the program. I never saw it as a bulimia. I ran miles to lose the weight, and then I would come home and I'd say, well, I must have lost so many calories by running, then I'm going to reward myself with the food. And it's the craziness. Or I'd go on diets, do well for 2 or 3 days, and with the scale, the obsession, I would get on the scale. Well, if I lost weight, okay, then I'll give myself permission to eat a little more. Or if I didn't lose weight, then I said, what the heck with it? I haven't lost anything, so I'm just going to keep on eating. I remember I wanted to have my jaws wired. I wanted to have my stomach stapled. I wanted to go to a hypnotist. I just didn't understand that the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind It was crazy. I was going through 5 pounds of sugar every other week, cooking all the stuff and giving a pat on my shoulder. I was doing it for my kids or my husband. Well, my husband did not have that addiction. I could bake something, it stays there for a whole week, and he'll take a little piece of it, and it'll probably rot. And a lot of stuff does. He doesn't have my disease. So it is by the grace of God I was led into the program, and I found a power greater than myself, which is the program. It was the steps. God, whatever you want to call it, I'm ready and willing to surrender. Please help me. Yes, there was a void in my heart that I tried to fill it with other things, not with just food and many other things. Could be a love addiction, you know. I'm a multi-addicted person, but I'm so grateful I came to the programs, and, you know, I'm learning, I'm recognizing this stuff. And I do exercise. We did have the tool of exercise many, many years ago, and we took it out. So I do exercise, moderation exercise, every day or whenever I feel like it. It's not an obsession. I don't have to worry or think about the food or my weight any longer. I'm in a place where God wants me to be, and it's such a freedom. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Vasa O from Massachusetts. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 38, the second paragraph, beginning with, "You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, and reading through its strong language, but isn't it true? And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others jump in. Who else would like to share today? Please include your state when you introduce yourselves.
W.H.
Yeah, E from the U.K.
Okay, hold on. Right. Ken W.H. I got Ken, and then somebody from the U.K.
Who was from the U.K.?
Claire. Got you, Claire. All right.
David M., Florida.
Okay, who's that from Florida?
David M., Florida.
David M. from Florida, and then the person who is right there with David.
Susan S.H.
Gotcha. Anybody else?
Joni Y. from Connecticut.
Oh, who is that from Connecticut? Sorry.
Joni.
I lost you right there for a sec.
Joni Y.
Joni Y. from Connecticut.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, here's who I've got for our second lineup, and then we'll add more names as time allows. So I have Ken W.H., Claire E., David M., Susan S.H., Joni Y. Was there anybody who had tried to get their name in already and you didn't hear your name called? Okay. All right, so Ken W.H., my brother down the street, you're up next, followed by Claire E. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, neighbor Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. The paragraph starts with the three dangerous words. You may think, uh-oh, I can get myself in trouble just from those three words. Because I'll start thinking about ways to not identify with this strange insanity. But my history and my memory makes it very, very clear that I was nuts when it came to food and my addictions. Sneaking around, stealing, being paranoid that I'm going to get caught. The self-deception about my weight and exercise. I would lie when I came home from the doctor about what the scale said. Lying and devastated self-esteem. Didn't think very much of myself at all. And I guess it really showed up in the one example for me that may sound too ridiculous, But I spent a lot of time doing my eating in the car, eating and other addiction in the car. And, you know, you always have garbage to discard when you do that stuff. And I remember wiping the fingerprints off of the package, the containers or whatever of my substance, wiping the fingerprints off it before I threw it out the window on a deserted part of an interstate highway, thinking that they're going to find it, they're going to take the fingerprints, they're going to come and get me, and I will be made town disgrace. That's crazy. That's nuts. That's paranoid at its worst. That's the disease just pumping away. Want me to eat some more, eat some more, eat some more, because you can always wipe your fingerprints off, Ken. That's crazy. I appreciate being here today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. All right. Claire E. from the U.K., you're up next, followed by David M. Go ahead, Claire. Claire, hit star one to unmute.
Hey, there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, everyone that does service. And my name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from the UK. And, I'm a bit out of breath. I'm on my bike. This paragraph. So you may think this is a ridiculous illustration, and I certainly thought that on many, many trips through the big book. I kind of, yada, yada, yada. Yes, it's all crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. And certainly there was no, my first prompt used to say a lot to me, you know, look at the evidence. And the evidence was that my behaviour around food was bonkers. Love hearing people's examples of their exams. The one that comes to my mind today was once I worked in ED, I did a blood test on myself because I had a bit of an infection in my skin. And the blood test results came back with a potassium of 1.9, which super, super low. And it was a result of my vomiting and something that would have taken a patient into cardiac ICU. And my attitude towards it was, oh, I'll eat some bananas, you know, and just absolute lack of perspective. And, you know, that word perspective, you know, something big appearing little and something little appearing big. And it's where I'm standing. You know, it's the way I see the world. It's a misperception on life and a strange sort of insanity. And I think what changed for me with this story is that I think it was the last time we went through Envision, actually. Someone really emphasized the word, we get a thrill out of moving in front using vehicles. And that really shifted it for me, because that's my strange insanity, is that despite all of that evidence, I get a thrill from playing with fire. You know, although I know it's going to hurt me, you know, my alcoholic life becomes my normal one. I cannot tell the truth from the false. I lose my perspective and I get a thrill. You know, even driving to the supermarket to get some bin food would be thrilling. There'd be an adrenaline buzz. There'd be a, I'm going to be getting away with it. I'm going to have this secret sort of binge and, you know, just very, and you know, that is a really crazy, you know, normal people do not get that thrill from food. That is just not a normal thing to experience. As far as I'm aware, you know, that's my experience, but that's what I get around food. And that's how my strange insanity, even though I might, I love that we should think, yeah, no, we shouldn't think, and the intelligence isn't great either, because my intelligence, unfortunately, has never really got me anywhere with this disease. I can understand that intellectually, but it doesn't stop that strange mental blank spot, that desire to have a strange thrill and chuck myself in front of a fast-moving vehicle comes upon me. I have no effective mental defense against it, and the only time I get correct perspective is the next day when I look back and I go, God, that was mad. Why did I do that? But at that moment, you know, I'm caught up in that. And that's what I'm up against. And that's why I need a higher power. I need to see it through the eyes of my higher power. I need restoring to sanity, to correct perspective. And to do that, I need to be plugging in and hearing this day in, day out. Because left to my own devices, you know, that's what my brain does. It makes it a fun prospect. It makes it a thrill. I'll pass with that. And it's great to be on the meeting. And thanks for everybody's service and sharing.
Thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. David M., you're up next, followed by Susan S.H. Just a reminder to include your statement and you introduce yourself. Go ahead, David.
Oh, great. David M., Florida. Glad to be here. Yeah, this disease definitely makes me insane. I am not myself. when I have, when I get these cravings, it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It's definitely, I remember when I first started, I had no idea I had an addiction, but I had this routine. I go to work, I had a certain item, a certain time, at night. I went to bed, I had a certain item, a certain time, and I didn't notice that. But then when I got into OA, I met my wife. When I got into OA and started listening to the meetings, I just got on just to support, and then I realized, oh, I think I have an addiction to the, to this food, to the sugar and these items. And then once I found, and once I tried to break this habit, that's when it came out. This disease really came out. And then when I started, like, I would start in break rooms, and I'd figure out, I'll become this different weird being. Like, I felt like I'll figure out how to, like, take the food but make it look like nobody touched it, like there's still something in there. So I would play these mind games. Okay, I'll look at it, how can I do this, and take this food out, put this in. But anyway, I'm at work, I have to go, I really needed to share that. So thanks for this program, and thanks.
All right, thank you so much, David M. from Florida. Susan S.H., you're up next, followed by Joni Y. Go ahead, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater today. I did honestly think it was too ridiculous. The first time I read this, it was like, I didn't understand it, and I felt like I was being talked to like a child with a parable. But it's a parable that today I can identify with. When I substitute compulsive eating for jaywalking, I see I was using the very substance that was killing me to ease the same pain it has increased in the first place. I was searching for ease and comfort in my drug of choice. And, how insane is that? How insane is that? Today, I see that the insanity, I see that it is insanity, and I couldn't see it then. I felt like I was living a normal life back then. Unfortunately, it was a life that included a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of pain. And I couldn't identify it at the time. I am so glad to have come to understand through working the steps that I can work my steps, which are my directions for life, and open to more understanding every day. It's absolutely a wonderful world. And it was not a wonderful world when I was angry all the time. I am so grateful to have the directions in the steps. I'm so grateful when I'm given that I can identify into the stories, because these stories are me, absolutely insane. And yet I've come to trust a higher power to deliver me from that insanity. I'm just amazed every day by this journey.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. That's just about all I had to say anyway. So thank you. And I pass.
Oh, you know what, Susan? I'm so sorry. You have about another minute. I am so sorry. I misread you.
I thought that was fast, but you know what? I was out of things to say anyhow. I'm a short share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Susan S.H. I apologize. Joni Y., you are up next, and then we'll get some more names. We've got room for a little bit more. Go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you. This is Joni Y., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut. And I wanted to thank the lead chair, I believe Leah, I haven't really looked at this paragraph the way that that we have. And I've read understood the Jaywalker analogy and talking about it, but this shifted my brain a little bit. But Leia said, explaining that it was the planning of the insanity of going back to that thing that's making us insane. So it's, for me, it wasn't necessarily the binge. It was the waking up in the morning and going, researching the next plan, running a marathon or paying lots of money for this certain program or getting that book that's going to finally do it. That was kind of my jaywalking. And KDG said that no normal perception. And it wasn't until I got into the rooms of vision and with all of you, my wonderful teachers, that it was really the behaviors, my behaviors. It wasn't the food. It wasn't the plan. It wasn't that special thing that I just hadn't quite discovered yet. It's my behavior and my behaviors. There's so many. And I appreciate you all so much because I'm able to see things from these different angles, because sometimes I walk into a corner like those little vacuum bazoomba thingies, but I get stuck and just keep going into that corner thinking I'm going to find that last piece of fuzz. And you help me to flip it around, and I really appreciate you all, and I hope you have a wonderful abstinent day today. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service, and I pass.
Okay, thank you so much, Joni Wybe. We have time for a little bit more here. Maybe let's do two more and see where we're at. Who else would like to share?
Maybe.
Roxanne?
Laura,
okay.
L from Connecticut.
Amy G.
Okay, hold on. I got Russ M, and then, but there was somebody right as Russ was coming in.
Amy
I just wanted.
Maisie C.
Okay, Maisie C. And see. Okay, we'll see what we got here, guys, and we're going to hold off right there. Russ M, you're up first, followed by Maisie C. Or Maisie. Go ahead, Russ.
All right, Rick, thanks, brother. Russ M, recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly in Pennsylvania, obviously. So, I just need to share today. I keep stuff to the cuff. I usually keep it right to the book, but, I just wanted this. It's on my mind, and I just think, okay, to Jay Walker, the 100 G's that I blew in clothes, about 250,000 I beat my parents for. And I was eating, I was destroying my family, my kids and all. And now I could, through this meeting and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been free. And I got to make amends to people and change my life. And I'm a junkie. I'm a pretty bad junkie. And only through the grace of God, I'm doing what I'm doing. And now I have the privilege of taking care of my mom. She's terminally ill. And I thought of it yesterday that I'd be nowhere without this program. My ego was smashed. My butt, I was bludgeoned. And God knew that in 2017 that right now I needed to be seen right today. Like, why do we do these things that we're doing in life, why did I have to medicate? Why can't I deal with life on small things? And now God set me up that with this big thing, I could be a little functional for my mother. And I think of the jaywalker. If I was back in, look, if I just didn't do this damn work, I would be no use to nobody. I'd be dead probably. I'd be dying like my mom, or I'd be dead. And this morning I sent a text to someone and it just hit me. I just want to thank this meeting that I'm alive and I'm real. I notice all these things are painful. Life is like, it sucks sometimes, but that I'm able to experience this in a way that's slightly healthy, that I could be useful to someone. And, I was never useful to anybody but myself. And now I could be seen. But I was sick as that damn jaywalker. I blew more money and hurt so many people along the way. And I hurt myself, too. I got hit by a couple fire trucks. And it's only through the grace of God I'm doing what I'm doing. So, really, it's thank you. And I love everybody here and all my friends that helped me. Because I won't be able to help my mom right now, to be honest with you. You know, I'm usually on topic, but this is on my mind. So, just want to thank you. All right. Thanks for that, Mr. Rick. Love you, brother. Peace.
Thank you so much, Russ M. from Pennsylvania. Love you too, brother. All right, Maisie C., you're up next, followed by Amy G., as time allows.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can. And just give your name and state, please.
Yep. Maisie C. from Worcester, Massachusetts. And thank you for your service. Thank you. I am so grateful for this program. I just have to say this. I've been here coming every single day for 3 months, and I am such a changed person. One, because the food has been down. Two, I've been obedient to everything that's suggested to me, everything I hear on these meetings. I just completed my fourth step yesterday, and when the question was, have you stolen food? And boy, I never ever thought of this, but it made me think. I was raising two kids by myself. I had just bought a house. I was, like I said, single. And I had three jobs, and one of them was housekeeping. And I cleaned for a lot of Jewish women. And their freezer always had fantastic foods and desserts and stuff. And I was stealing their food. And I was justifying it by, well, I do a very good job cleaning their house. Why should they mind if I eat a little food? Not thinking that that was maybe made for a party, a gathering or whatever, and they expected to have X amount of stuff, and I was digging into it. And how crazy was that? Talk about jaywalking. I mean, that was... I could have lost my job, and I needed that job because, like I said, I had just bought a house and I had a mortgage payment. That was back in '78, and it was like, wow. And when I look back and all the crazy things I did with food, and you know, I'd go to meetings and I'd say, well, I don't do that. I was always comparing, not identifying. And today, you know, I've done a lot of those things, and I'm just grateful that I'm in a better spot. I was terrible. I remember one time my son said to me, I had been absent for quite a while, and then, well, not that long, but for a while, and then I picked up the food again, and I was newly married, and my son said to me, oh, my goodness, I had got back into the food, and my son said, what happened to you, Ma? You were on such a beam. You were so happy, and what's going on? You're mean. You're not even like the same person. And I just shrugged it off. And then about a week later, my newly husband said, where did my Mary go? That's my real name, Mary. And I thought, wow, he said, what's going on with you? You're in a bad way. And it was because I was back into the food, the sugar, the flour, the craziness. I'm a Jekyll and Hyde for sure. I did a lot of crazy things. I was worse than a jaywalker.
That's a reminder.
Thank you so much, Rick. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed day.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maisie Z from Massachusetts. Amy G, I'm so sorry. We're not going to have time to fit you in on this one. Hopefully you can get in on the second hour. And I just need to make a correction. I was introducing our reader of the text as Leah S., and it was Kathy S. that was the reader of the text. So thank you, Kathy S., and thank you, everyone, for sharing. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, August 12, 2024, is 21,647. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy R. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Nancy R., a recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.